Our lesson tonight is out of Mark chapter 12, verses 18 to 27, learning of the living, miracle-working God versus dead religious rationalism. Mark's gospel was written by John Mark, who was rebounding from having abandoned Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey back in Acts chapter 13, verse 13, due to Mark's lapse in following Christ over some difficulty. That failure would have risen in part from Mark's failure to trust the living, miraculous God to help him. What sin is practiced in abundance by the dead religious rationalism of liberal theology with its denial of miracles today. Well, Mark 12, 18 to 27 reveals Jesus' exposure of the error of the dead religious rationalists of his day, the Sadducees, and instructs us on our insight, for our insight and for our edification as follows. I want to read the passage and then we'll look at it. Mark, chapter 12, verses 18 through 27. Then come unto Jesus the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection. And they asked him, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if a man's brother die and leave his wife behind him and leave no children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first took a wife and dying left no seed. The second took her and died, neither left he any seed. The third likewise. And the seven had her and left no seed. Last of all, the woman died as well. In the resurrection, therefore, when they shall rise, whose wife shall she be? For the seven had her to wife. And Jesus answering said unto them, Do you not therefore err, because you know not the scriptures, neither the power of God? For when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. And as touching the dead, that they rise, have you not read in the book of Moses, how in the passage on the burning bush, God spoke unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He's not the God of the dead, but of the God of the living. Ye therefore do greatly err. When I was a boy growing up, we were taught that there's an easy way to remember what the Sadducees believed. They didn't believe in the resurrection, so they were sad, you see. So that's a little catch-all phrase you can remember that by. But the Sadducees were the theological liberals, the dead religious rationalists of Jesus' day. First of all, they denied the resurrection because they thought the soul ceased to exist at death. There are a lot of people today in our country who believe this. They believe that once you die, that's it. So the only life you have is here on the earth. So you don't really have to pay too much attention to morals and morality and so forth. You kind of have to get along with people who do, but other than that, you can essentially do what you want, because once you die, that's it. There's no life beyond this life. There are a lot of evolutionists who believe that, incidentally. Then, they also denied the existence of angels and demons. They didn't believe that there were spirit beings out there at all, either good or bad. And third, they taught that the 39-book Old Testament was canonical. In other words, it was God's word, but the five books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the five books of Moses were more highly inspired than the rest of the canon. Now, interesting, liberals today, liberal theologians, believe that too. They believe that there may be parts of the Bible that are inspired, but there are parts that are erroneous and are mythological, and you just toss them out. In fact, they've taken parts of the Old Testament and they've split them up into parts that they believe are valid and parts that aren't. There was one of our founding fathers in our country that took his Bible and actually cut out, he had various pages there, and he actually cut out whole sections of scripture that he thought were not canonical. And when you go through pages, there are just big holes on each of the pages because he didn't believe that they were God's word. He was a deist, of course. Well, that's what these Sadducees believe. It's interesting, there's nothing new. We've had rationalists around for centuries, many centuries. Well, this denial of the miraculous aspect of Scripture's living God showed up in their spiritually dead religious rationalism. Rationalism is the idea where you come to believe what you believe based only on what you see around you and what you know from a scientific standpoint. But there is no such thing as miracle at all. So that led them to ask Jesus a very coarse question in trying to prove their false beliefs. The Sadducees, whom Mark specifically noted did not believe in the resurrection, approached Jesus with a question, a theological question. That question dealt with a woman's having married seven brothers who had died in succession in order to fulfill the Mosaic requirement of levirate marriage. If I go back to Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 5, we see that there's a command that Moses left. And he says, if brothers dwell together, in other words, they're in the same area, and one of them dies and has no child, the wife of the dead shall not marry outside unto a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go in unto her and take her to him as his wife, and perform the duty of an husband's brother unto her. And it shall be that the firstborn which she bears shall succeed in the name of his brother, which is dead, that his name not be put out of Israel. It's very important to keep the lineage going in Israel. So if there's a woman who was married to a man, and the man died before she had a child, then the brother was responsible to take her as a wife and to marry her and buy her to raise up child. Now, the first child born through that union would carry the name of the deceased brother, and that way they would keep the name of the family going, and that way you would have the lineage that would continue. This was a law that was practiced in the Mideast. In fact, it was actually a very wholesome thing to do in the ancient Near East, because the last thing you wanted to do is to cause a man's name to be erased from history. Keeping the man's name alive was very, very important. So, each brother who successfully wed this woman had in turn died without producing any seed by her unto her first husband. Now, if there was a resurrection, the Sadducees asked to whom she would be married, for she had been wed to all seven brothers. And by this question, they implied that by raising them all together, God would be put into the impossible position of producing a sinfully incestuous union. Why incest? Leviticus chapter 18, verse 16 said that you should not marry your brother's wife. You should not cohabitate with her. Well, if God's going to resurrect this woman and these seven men, she's going to be married to all seven men. That's the argument of the Sadducees. And they were trying to corner Jesus into saying, well, there can't be a resurrection. Now, what's going on here is they're assuming that when you rise in the resurrection, you're raised in the same bodies. Okay. That's what they believe. They don't believe in the power of God. They don't believe in the resurrection. They're just trying to corner Jesus. So, Jesus replied by claiming that the Sadducees were deceiving themselves. Planasthet means to deceive. They were self-deceived, since they did not know the scriptures nor the power of God. Then he explained, first of all, the power of God, and then he explained the word of God in that order in verse 25, 26, and 27. First, Jesus explained God's miraculous power opposite the Sadducean denial of miracles. He said that there would be a resurrection. What the Pharisees, I should have written Sadducees, I'm sorry, what the Sadducees denied could even occur. Jesus also said that those who would be raised would neither marry, that is, contract a marriage, nor be wed, that is, have a marriage arranged by their parents, but be like the angels of heaven. This would counter the Sadducees, who would deny the existence of a miraculous asexual body in a miraculous resurrection, or the existence of angels. I think it's very interesting how Jesus said they're going to be like the angels of heaven. They didn't believe in angels. So Jesus says, angels. He's really throwing it right back in their faces. You guys are not believing in miracles. That's a problem. That's a problem with you. You don't understand the power of God. Second, Jesus explained the scriptures of the miraculous God. The Sadducees denied the resurrection since they denied the soul existed after death. So Jesus countered this error by alluding to Exodus 3:6 on Moses and the burning bush, a passage in one of the books of Moses that the Sadducees held was thoroughly authoritative. You see, Jesus didn't use something from Jeremiah or Isaiah or Malachi because the Sadducees really didn't believe that those books were as authoritative as Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. So Jesus goes to Exodus. They believe Exodus is authoritative. Okay, let's go to Exodus. So he goes to Exodus chapter 3, verse 6. It goes to the passage on the burning bush. And in that passage, the historical context is very important, for the patriarch's name there had been dead for hundreds of years, actually over 400 years. And the grammatical context is equally invaluable because the verb am, on which Jesus' argument is based, is grammatically understood. It is not written in the text. And in fact, this is attested. If you check your King James Version, you'll notice that the word am there in Exodus chapter 3, verse 6 is italicized. It's italicized because it's not written in Hebrew. Literally in the Hebrew, it says, I myself, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There's no am. Now, that's not a sentence in English. In English, you have to state a verb because there's no such thing as an understood verb. In Hebrew, it's an understood verb. You say, I, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you're thinking am. And you're thinking present tense, present tense. And the present tense is the crux of the whole argument. Because Jesus was saying that God was claiming, I currently am the God of these men, even though they have been dead for 400 years. Now, he can't be the God of someone who doesn't exist. He's the God of the living, not of the dead. So for God to have said, I am currently the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he's claiming that the souls of those men are very much alive. They're with him, and they're looking forward to the resurrection. So Jesus' argument was as follows. If God said, I am the God of the long-deceased fathers, they still had to exist, though long dead. So the Sadducees greatly deceived themselves. Planasta comes up again on their denial of the resurrection. Opposite the dead rationalism of the Sadducees, Jesus revealed the God of Scripture is a miracle-working God whose word only reveals he is a miracle-working God versus dead religious rationalism. So opposite the dead rationalism of liberal theology, may we believe in the miracle-working God of the Bible, holding to the miraculously divinely inspired text of all of Scripture that reveals this miracle-working God. Now, it's interesting. I had written down an illustration that I was going to use here. We talked in the sermon this morning about how man in our country threw off belief in God, threw off belief in the Bible and so forth, and went into an errant form of idolatry. That form of idolatry, actually, the crux of it was Darwinism, that the God that created the universe are the natural processes, allegedly, of evolution, okay? And that's very rationalistic. And you go from rationalism in Darwin ideology and theology, you go over into a breakdown in morals, and then we get to where we are today with the Supreme Court, you know, sanctioning gay marriage and so forth. But it goes back to this rationalism. What's interesting is that that dead rationalism of Darwin was something that led Darwin himself, who was trained in theology, incidentally, to get to the point where he felt that he could no longer believe in the existence of God because he was adopting this errant form. So there's a shift there. But what I really like about what happened today, as I was preaching the sermon, I was not expecting this response. After the message, I was spoken to by two people, one a man and one a woman, totally unrelated to one another, who came up to me, and they were affected by the reference that I made to the sexual revolution that occurred in the 1960s. I was just preaching the sermon, and I was trying to establish the error of the Supreme Court and what it did and how our country had shifted. But when I talked about how in the 60s the sexual revolution came in and that was a form of debauchery and so forth, there were people in our congregation who were deeply affected by that because it reminded them of the sinful past that they had. And their consciences were bothered. And I came to them and I said, you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? That's past. You can put a period and move on. It's forgiven. It's under the blood of Jesus Christ. And what you need to do now is to go on and live lives that are victorious in Jesus Christ. I didn't plan the sermon with that type of application at all. I wasn't thinking about going in that direction. But the Holy Spirit powerfully used his word to deal with these things that were a great concern in the hearts of people. And unbeknownst to me, the Lord used it, and so I was able to give them direction as to what the Lord wants them to do with their lives now that that's something that is in the past, it's under the blood, it's forgiven, God wants us to go on now and be overcomers and to be victorious in Him, to realize that we are forgiven and that we are cleansed and we are righteous in God. So I was moved today by the fact that the Word of God that we were preaching, the Word itself is powerful. This has happened so many times. I take a passage of Scripture and I'm going in a direction, I'm thinking one thing, but the Holy Spirit takes that word, that same word, and He does something else over here completely apart from what I'm thinking about. And this happens so many times, it convinces me once again, this is a living book. We have a miraculous God who uses His book miraculously because it's divinely inspired and it's powerful. So may we always believe in God, who is a miracle-working God. He is alive today. He is very much working in His church and in His people. And as we do that, we will avoid dead rationalism. We'll also avoid dead Darwinism. And then we'll avoid all the fallout that has occurred as a result of it. And I would hope that Nipog Church always, until the coming of Jesus Christ, adheres to a belief in the divine inspiration of Scripture and in the miracle-working God Himself, who uses His word for His glory.